protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss podcast powered by Riverland Roofing and featuring Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of Rebel Grove. Hello again, everybody, and welcome inside, at least for me, not for Sam Hutchins of the Jackson Clarion Ledger, covering Ole Miss football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, all things Ole Miss sports. But me, Ben Garrett of Rebel Grove, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. Sign up at Rebel Grove right now for just $1. I'm in the Riverland Roofing Studios, New Albany branch. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss athletics in the name, image, and likeness space. So visit our friends, support them, riverlandroofing.com. They do so much, power everything we do here at Talk of Champions. Sam has been out there with me all month. Ole Miss is wrapping its last week of fall camp. We don't get to see the final practices, Sam, but first of all, how are you and what have you seen so far that's really stuck out?
Yeah, I'm good, Ben. Thanks for having me on. And you're right. It feels like we have had plenty of time to hang out there, you know, in the indoor fields and the outdoor fields. We've gotten to watch quite a bit of, stretching and some periods of practice. We've certainly seen a lot and we can jump all right in. But I wanted to present a little question to you right off the bat. Ooh. Tell me if this is an oversimplification.
Okay.
That maybe this year's team, broadly speaking, it's kind of like last year's team a little bit, like a lot of good pieces, maybe some questions in the secondary, maybe some questions on the offensive line. Wide receivers are going to be really good. We think quarterbacks are going to be good. Is that crazy? That's kind of, I feel like, the easy way to present the case a little bit, sort of a little bit like last year's team. I mean, we think the D-line's going to be pretty good. What do you think?
That's a great way to start it, because that's something I've been asked everywhere I go. Doesn't matter if it's church, doesn't matter if it's today at New Albany Middle School to watch my oldest Gracie. There she is. There's my beautiful Gracie girl. She's running for vice president in New Albany Middle School. And I just got word, Sam, that she's in the runoff. So, you know, prayers up for my girl.
Gracie, 2025.
2025. Let's go. And she got up there in front of 500 of her fellow students and faculty and did the thing. So I'm so proud of her. I think this team could be very similar in terms of results as last year's team, meaning 9 wins. But the way they get to those 9 wins, I think, is going to be very different, because last year's growing pains were they led in every game. They only lost their 3 losses combined 9 points or something like that. It had to do more with underperformance than anything else. Here it's going to be more about Austin Simmons taking his lumps. I mean, he's not going to be as efficient necessarily as Jackson Dart, especially last year. It's not like Jackson Dart started out being the record setter that he became, but last year really put it all together and had an incredible season, finished as one of only a few players in the SEC with 12,000 career passing yards. And last year really put it all together and covered up a lot of the warts of Ole Miss football, specifically the lack of a running game. This team, meanwhile, has a running game, we think, with Kewon Lacy and Logan Diggs and Shekhi Mills-Knight. Not early on, I don't think, but the physical build and the mold, he's exactly what you're looking for. He's the prototype at running back. He's got everything you want. Might take him a little bit of time. And Damian Taylor, I think, is going to be one of the most underappreciated or under-talked about guys that is going to have one of the biggest impacts for this offense, something that Jackson just didn't have last year. So you look at the schedule, and you look at the way this team is kind of put together. We know what the areas to watch, and you're going to have some overperformance or at least tap into upside that hasn't been tapped into yet. Quarterback, defensive line, and secondary. But the schedule sets up in a way that they could get to that 9-win, 10-win plateau. But still, I think the floor is a little different compared to last year's team. Last year's team, they were the worst they could do is win 9 games.
That's right? Exactly right. Yeah.
this team, if they win 9 games, you'll call it a successful season. They'll be right there in the college football playoff discussion. But how they get there is going to be a little bit different, because you're going to have your growing pains with Austin Simmons. The offensive line's been banged up these last couple of weeks. I'm not panicked about the offensive line. I've wrote about that at Rebel Grove. I'm not panicked about it because I think specifically with their starting tackles, Diego Pounds and Jaden Williams, they're just taking their time. But that secondary, still some things to figure out. So, yeah, I think in terms of results, this could be very much like last year's team, even though I think last year was more just about underperformance and just not getting it done. When you're losing 20-17 to teams, that's more to do with what you didn't do than what they necessarily did do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's like people ask me, you know, man, are they just going to run last year back? And I'm like, well, hang on. They sent a record, like 8 players got drafted. That's not happened here before. So to put those expectations and pick 8 players who are going to be drafted next year, statistically, right, you don't set records every year. So I think that maybe where that shows is I don't know if this team is as built to blow teams out as last year. I remember, I guess let's take South Carolina last year, just a stomping that kept getting better and better as we realized, oh, like South Carolina is actually pretty good. But going at South Carolina, and I thought, okay, like maybe the equivalent to that matchup, OU's getting a lot of hype. Like maybe the equivalent to that this year is at Norman. And I don't know if I see this team going on and stomping on John Mateer and OU the way that last year's team was able to do that against the Norris Sellers. I think that this team is perfectly capable of winning tough road games like that, but I don't see this team winning, you know, I guess 48-3 in the non-con, and I don't see them winning whatever that game was, like 28-3 or something in tough SEC road games. I think on both ends, maybe everything's a little closer this season.
I'm the same way. If you look across the board at the schedule, I think every game – this is a team that is equipped and built, and if you looked at ESPN's metrics that came out this week, potentially favored in almost every game they play. I think, like, in terms of – record projection, Ole Miss is favored in 11 out of 12 games, meaning 11-1 if they just won all the games they're favored to win, which seems crazy because they're replacing
Georgia
a lot.
Or LSU? Georgia?
I can't remember. I can't remember if it's Georgia or LSU. I would assume it's Georgia, but LSU, man, that's an $18 million roster. And honestly, I'm really bullish on LSU this year. I'm not a huge Garrett Nussmeier guy. I think he's got some issues as far as his knees and injury concerns. And there's a lot there. But, man, I really like what they have across the board. But Ole Miss is a lot more theoretical this year than it was last year. But still, you have proven production. I've been talking to a number of people about the star power or lack thereof maybe compared to last year. Right. But if you factor in that Ole Miss brought in the number one wide receiver from Oklahoma State, the number one wide receiver from Penn State, a running back in Kewon Lacy that they absolutely love, has been one of the most explosive players in fall camp, according to Lane Kiffin, a defensive line with Xavier Harris, who, in my opinion, is staring at the top 3-round pick a top 3-round pick in the NFL draft next spring. Cam Franklin looks like the breakout player on defense for me. I mean, just completely filled out physically. You can see where the stars emerge. TJ Dottery is as good as they come at linebacker. The next step for him is getting like that Chris Poo-Paul kind of impact where you're in the butt-kiss conversation all year. You're leading Ole Miss in tackling. You got the green dot on your helmet, so you're making the calls. The secondary is where I struggle to see right now the true star power, but man, Jalen Braxton's done it before as a freshman All-American at Arkansas at corner in 2023. Antonio Kite has got some stripes on his resume. So does Sage Ryan. There's some potential there. But for this team, I think the competitiveness, just like last year, will be there in every single game they play. But to where Ole Miss last year, they're in tight games because they just can't figure out some part of the game. It'll just be more that, you know, this is a team that's going to take its lumps. Like, there are going to be interceptions thrown that weren't thrown last year. There's going to be fewer turnovers because Trey Amos was dominating one side of the field, you know, and like they don't have a Trey Amos this year. You know, they might not have necessarily the same pass rush, even though Pete Golding is bullish on this front eight. He thinks they could be as good, no drop off whatsoever from last year. It's just a different kind of formula than we're used to seeing. And that's what comes with so much change, and we knew that that's what this year would be. But I think what really gives me a lot of optimism or confidence about what this team can do is the fact that across the board, it's competitive and they're not going to go into any game thinking, man, they're undermanned. Like you would typically think in the old days that a team that replaced over 70% of its all 22 would, you know, struggle to find an identity. No, Ole Miss knows what its identity is. It's just now is Cam Franklin who they thought he was? Is Austin Simmons who they thought he was? So I think right there at 9 wins is where I'd predict it. And I think the over-under, according to BetMGM, was 8.5. And I'm like, yeah, that's the perfect. Vegas always knows. That's like the perfect.
That's perfect. Right.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Because like if last year's floor was at worst 9, I think this year's floor is at worst 8. And that's kind of where you see these things setting up. So, yeah, I think it's a great point that like this team, while different and will take its lumps like last year's team, how they get there, like, you could be feeling much differently about 9 wins this year than you would have than you did last year, if that makes sense. Like you're gonna fit if Ole Miss gets 9 wins, like I think they do. You're gonna go, dang, that was a heck of a year. Last year, you're like, man, Kentucky, Florida. It's just it'll be different, but the results similar, and you'll feel a little bit more, you know, like accomplished than last year's team, you know, in a way.
Yeah, and it's weird, you know, using words like disappointment and underwhelming to describe last year's team because it was so impressive. And it's like, I mean, I've sort of told folks like, shoot, if you had to pick a team that could have beaten Ohio State last year, maybe Ole Miss, right? But when coaches use that word, like, yeah, you know, it was a disappointing year. And then it's like, well, you still won 10 games and were incredibly impressive. But that's, I think that's the right word. I mean, with Dart Bond out in the preseason, last year's roster may be one of the ones that you look in the NFL 5 years from now and you're like, whoa, like that team was crazy. If guys like Princely and, you know, Trey and Jackson Dart all play well at the next level. But I almost think that creates kind of a nice little headspace for this team to operate, right? In terms of the expectations maybe – they're a little lowered, right? Like, I don't think anyone expects Austin Simmons to go play well and be drafted. I think everyone maybe expects Austin to come back for another year. So this, to me, sort of feels like a reset, almost like when you bring in Jackson Dart for year one. And you sort of hope to have this core around for a little bit. And maybe this is chapter one where if the team wins 8 or 9 games this year, then next year Ole Miss could be one of those teams in 27. That's like a top 12 team.
And here's the thing. I'm not so convinced with how wide open it could be this year in college football that a 9-3 team doesn't make the playoff anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it almost happened last year. If, you know, if you take away or maybe you put the Florida loss in week, you know, 2 or something and you reshuffle, it almost happened. So that's exactly right. And like the dirty little secret is it's, you know, you can poke holes in any roster in the country. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's the reality of this game that we all love, and the reality of having to start 22 players is it's really, really hard to feel locked in, great, rock solid about all 22 guys. You don't. So that's where you need, you know, the stars of your team to go in and play like more than one person. Like you said, like Trey Amos did last year, like Dart did at times, Trey Harris, whoever you want. So the cool thing about this year is there's players that I could see doing that, right? Certainly Austin, Womack, Yuman Mielin, part 2 coming around the edge. I'm excited for all that. But, man, this week one I think is going to be a lot more interesting than, like, last year's week one. I was contrasting the non-conference games. I think we'll be able to learn so much more from this week one.
Yeah, and the only way this goes sideways if it's like 7-3 at halftime at Georgia State, then you're like, oh, wait a second, like what's going on here? Because I think defensively they're in a really good place, and I even think offensively they're in a good place too. It's just, man, that defensive front has really had its way more often than not in fall camp. And typically the defense, well, at least in the olden days of covering this, and I've been doing it for 17 years, you're used to the coaches saying, well, the defense is ahead of the offense, but is that more to do with the defensive line? Is that good? Or is it a mix of, yeah, it's good, but this offensive line, you know, it's not cutting cheddar right now. You know, like I don't know what that piece is, but I think that we don't need to overreact by some of that stuff, right? Because if you look at the offensive line, Diego Pounds, they haven't had their starting five together all fall camp.
No.
And that's by design. right? They're trying to get those guys to the season. So when they start out on, and they're you know, tracking to have that starting five of tackles, Diego Pounds and Jaden Williams, PJ Wilkins, if he's healthy enough, and he left the scrimmage after the first play, he was hurt, but all week when we saw him up until Wednesday, he was fine. He was working on the stationary bike a little bit, but yeah, he could be a starter at left guard. Delano Townsend, I mean, that one's going to be tough. I think he's out for a little while. Yeah. Patrick Kudus, they've been just trying to get him there. Right guard, center is Bryson Sanders. Bryson is a key piece to this moving forward, but I'm just not as panicked about that. And I think if you'd have seen their starting five together, we'd have got a better gauge, if that makes sense, of what this both the offensive line and the defensive front is. But regardless, the defensive front, I think, is really going to be a strength of this team.
Yeah, I wrote a piece for the Clarion Ledger kind of talking about this, about the hype that Devin Harper was getting, a true freshman offensive lineman. And what I was saying is, like, you don't – if you're an SEC team, you don't want to start true freshman offensive linemen in almost all cases, right? Maybe you have a five-star incredible talent come in. But what you want to see is these young guys being depth pieces because – yeah, Devin Harper may have to spot start a game or two around, or you may have to reshuffle or something. But that's what I think maybe the panic you didn't use the word panic, Ben. I don't want to put that in your mouth. But I think you're right to not be so concerned about the offensive line in terms of, yeah, like cohesion is important and these guys haven't all played together. But at least it seems that there's a reason for that. And it's because you realize that you'd rather have them for week one and certainly week two at Kentucky than, week -2 against Pete Golding, right? So I'm with you on that. And, yeah, that's just the tough part about evaluating scrimmages and why I'm counting down the days till Georgia State gets here is because, yeah, when one unit does well in a scrimmage, the other does terrible. So you can draw any conclusion you want. I guess it's incredibly easy and incredibly hard for guys like us when we're evaluating scrimmages because we can draw whatever conclusion we want.
Ole Miss fans, football is back, and there's only one place to make picks and win money all season long, Underdog. Playing on Underdog is easy. Simply pick whether your favorite players in any sport will go higher or lower on stats. For Ole Miss, that's touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Think Ole Miss quarterback Austin Simmons will go over or under 2.5 passing touchdowns in his debut against Georgia State. I'm thinking he gets at least 3 in a Rebel rout to start the 2025-26 campaign. Could Ole Miss great and Philadelphia Eagle A.J. Brown go over 0.5 combined rushing and receiving touchdowns in the NFL opener against the Dallas Cowboys? Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. And you can play with as little as $1. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19-plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19-plus in Colorado for some games, 21-plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See UnderdogFantasy.com for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
That's exactly right. If you had to pick who – here's one thing before I jump to that. I was going to say offensive MVP, defensive MVP. I think we're both going to agree that Santarian Perkins is the defensive MVP.
Yeah, good call. Man. Although you said Xavien Harris. That maybe is – that was the only challenger I could think of. But Daughtry too, how much you value the green dot. But, yeah, you said it right. I'm with you there.
Yeah, he's going to play all over. They're giving him more linebacker responsibility. Had a pick six two scrimmages ago. Yeah. I mean, if there was a time for Santarian to level up, is this year, and Ole Miss is certainly setting the table for him to do just that. But before we get to the offensive MVP, then, because we're both going to agree with Sonny P on defense, I think Austin Simmons and the expectations around him need to be muted, not because I don't think he's going to be good, but, man, the way – like. He doesn't have to go out there and be a record setter like Jackson Dart. He has more depth at wide receiver than Jackson did. He has more. He has certainly more running back depth than Jackson did. But more than that, if he can find a way to just manage the game and not turn the ball over, take shots when they're there, man, like this team is good enough, I think, in terms of his supporting cast to where even if he's just league average, that's enough. You know what I mean? Like that's even right. if he's just that could be enough to win you nine games. And then he's going to get better as the year goes on. But that's the only thing I think right now everyone is trying to sell it is like Austin Simmons, man, he's got to be that dude. And he does, but not quite, you know, what we're talking like, not quite what everyone's kind of billing him to be like the next coming, like the next, you know, Tua, except 6'4", right? I mean, yeah, he doesn't have to be that. At least early on, I think what Ole Miss is going to try to do with him is bring him along, not necessarily slowly. They're not going to limit him in any way, but not ask him to do more than is necessary as he gets his feet underneath him.
I think it's like you go back to – it's so hard for people, and I lump myself, journalists, into fans with this, to see that point because all we've seen from Austin Simmons is coming in and immediately being that dude. So it's like, oh, you know, just do what he did against Georgia. But you're right, Ben. He doesn't have to come in and immediately ball out from day one. That's why I think that the turning point of this season will probably come pretty early on. Because I do expect, like you said, pretty rapid improvement from Austin, right? I think we'll look back at the bowl game. I assume this team's going to get to 6 wins. I think we'll look at the bowl game and be like, wow, this kid is a lot better than the guy who played against Georgia State, like you said. So I think maybe in that road, the turning point could be, you know, week 2 against Kentucky or week 3 against Arkansas. Let's go if Austin is, you know, goes to the half down 7 and his stat line's like 5-for-11 with a pick. Right. I think that could be the turning point in terms of when Austin is still young and when he's still relatively inexperienced, how does he respond from adversity? Because there was no adversity in the Georgia game. It was, man, Austin Simmons is like, is this guy a combination of Sammy Baugh here and Sammy Baugh and John Elway? It was incredible. So that's the thing that we have to address is, yeah, like there's going to be difficulty here. He's a guy that's going to be making his first season as a full starter in the SEC. Like, of course, Peyton Manning had difficulties. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he responds to those. And I imagine it'll come pretty early on.
Well, I've got breaking news into the Talk of Champions Riverland Roofing Studios. Gracie Garrett has been elected vice president of New Albany Middle School.
That's incredible.
Everyone, my girl, she did the thing, went up there, and now she's been elected. I'm so proud of her. And I've been getting buzzed and called. Like, I've had some FaceTime calls and all this kind of stuff while we're talking. I'm like, I'm podcasting, everything okay? And the first answer I got is from my friend Chip over there. She's like, yes, and I knew what it meant. So congratulations to my baby. She won that one. And hopefully by this time next week, we'll be talking about, a potential Ole Miss win over Georgia State, a convincing win over Georgia State. And, you know, a lot of what will factor into that is, for example, offensive MVP. It's easy to say Austin Simmons, but when I think about if I'm predicting an offensive MVP, it's the one that you can't lose, right? He's the safety blanket. It might be the quarterback, but he's the most can't lose prospect on offense. Who is that for you?
I'm bouncing around a little bit. I think Kiwon Lacy, he's in my mind, but I'll tell you, I'm not going to pick Lacy because I think that, you know, just from what Charlie Weiss told us and, you know, maybe what we saw last year with it being so unpredictable, I think this team does rotate backs enough to where, you know, maybe Lacy's not like a 20-22 carry a game guy. I think I'd like to go with Dejon Stribling from Oklahoma State. I used to cover Oklahoma State, Ben. So I've seen Stribling with my own eyes. And then he was dominant at Washington State. The key with Stribling is him staying healthy, right? Ole Miss, I think they can, you know, afford a Stribling injury. Like if you get a critical injury, if you're this team, you probably want it in the wide receiver room where you're incredibly deep. But if Stribling, if he plays this whole season and if he's got a connection with Simmons, I think that he could emerge as the guy along with Caden Lee. Caden's going to suck up targets. Caden deserves to get plenty of targets and he should do a lot of things with them. So I'm wondering who's going to be kind of the other guy in this offense. Harrison Wallace is also, I would imagine, a contender. He's coming from Penn State. He's probably been the kind of guy, you know, fall camp, you look up and check your roster and like, whoa, man, he's popping off. He's popping up again. Like I see Wallace. But I think Stribling is that Ole Miss wanted in the portal. I talked with him at Media Day, and he could have gone a lot of places, could have Deshaun Stribling. And, you know, I asked him, like, hey, if you're a top wide receiver in the portal, are you putting into who the quarterback is? And he's like, dude, like almost everything. So he came to play at Ole Miss. He came to play with Austin Simmons. And I think that connection, even in a super deep wide receiver room, could stand out.
That's a great pick. For me, it's easy to say Austin, but again, I just don't think the pressure is there for Austin to start. I think the plan they have for him is to get him settled because, like you said, Georgia was a free shot. It wasn't like, hey, man, all the pressure's on you. It's just like, look, we're going to run our offense. You're in for a series or two. Get in there. And they just called their offense, and he didn't really have to think about it. Didn't have time to think about it. Now he's had time to overprocess. He's been in everything. He's been on every show. He's been on every – you know, in front of every microphone this offseason. So for him, it's less about all of that in the extracurricular and just getting back to the basics of football. And it's going to be a slower pace than it was necessarily with Jackson. For me, I'm picking an offensive lineman, and I'm only picking Jaden Williams because, man, when he's healthy, he's the highest graded offensive lineman for Ole Miss. And that is the position where they cannot afford to lose anybody. They need him to play a full 12 games. And he has not practiced much at all in fall camp, but that is by design because no man has had more durability issues than that one right there in Jaden Williams. So if he could stay healthy, how important he is for blocking the blind side of Austin Simmons, but for the cohesion and what the mix of the offensive line could be, because I think that's the biggest problem area for the offense in secondary's defense. Who is the transfer? You kind of answered with Deshaun Stribling, but transfer or transfers you're most bullish on really impacting winning for Ole Miss this year?
Okay, I'll throw out the other one, Harrison Wallace, who I like. I'm kind of covering my bases, picking a bunch of wide receivers here, but yeah, I think that this team is going to be the type of team where you could almost like last year. Remember when Jordan Watkins popped off for like 340 yards against Arkansas, and you're like, holy cow, like where did that come from? But I think that this is the type of team that maybe three guys go for 150 yards at one point in this season. And I think Harrison Wallace is one of the guys that can do that. He's really impressed me. I hate to take too much stock into practice watching because as you've seen, like practice watching is usually a lot of stretching. And so I can report that Harrison Wallace looks limber and his hamstrings look good. But we do get to see a little bit of, you know, work against air and work against, you know, when defenses are thudding. And I've been impressed with Harrison Wallace a lot. So we know Simmons has that connection with Lee, right? But there has to be someone else. And I'm excited to see how that connection works out too.
All of the transfers I'm most bullish on right now, outside of the receivers you've named, Taj Chambers, Sage Ryan, Kapina Gushkin. Everybody else I've got some questions about. Antonio Kite's been a consistent starter for Ole Miss at cornerback throughout fall camp. Opposite him, and it's been a revolving door, it's been some Jalen Braxton, who could play some free safety as well, some Ricky Fletcher, Dante Coy, the true freshman. But if you made me like say, these transfers are going to be invaluable. One is Taj Chambers. Another is Sage Ryan because of his consistency. Kapina Gushkin's up there. But I'm not so convinced that Prince Wilhelm-Mielen, while different than Princely, couldn't be like a lead Ole Miss in sacks or certainly pressures, tackles for loss. He could play from edge down to a 3-eye, 2-eye if he needed to. He's bigger than I thought. I thought he was too thin in the spring. Man, he looks more put together. He looks he's a different type of player than Princely, but man, if anybody's impressed with those transfers, a lot of them have. He's been one that's really stood out too.
Yeah, that's a good call. I'm glad that I don't have to discard my skill of learning how to spell Yuman Mielen. That's kind of nice, right? We get to use that for another year.
It took me a long time to be able to do it off the dome, and now that I can, I'm glad that I get to use that skill. That's a great point. I love that. All right. Any true freshmen you think, since we're a week out now, only a week until Ole Miss football kicks off, Thank goodness. Pick a freshman or two that you think, because freshmen under Lane Kiffin, it's been a mixed bag in terms of impact and what they can do in year one. But I think this year has this crop of freshmen, especially with the opportunity and all the new, have a real chance to break in and kind of break that mold, you know, reverse that trend. Who do you think are some freshmen that could do that?
Yeah, I like Devin Harper. I think the team likes Devin Harper, a freshman offensive lineman. I don't think that the design for him is, hey, let's start Devin Harper every game and see how he does against Georgia between the hedges, right? You don't usually want that for your freshman offensive lineman, but I could see, based on past history and, you know, just the life of an offensive lineman, I could see a spot start for him. And I could see, if that comes in a critical game, you kind of just the goal in that scenario would be, hey, don't be a revolving door. Like, don't be a guy that constantly gets circled with the yellow on the TV. And I think that he could probably hold his own in a spot like that. So Harper is a guy that stands out. I don't know what to think of Mills Knight. I wanted to run this by you, Ben, because to me, he feels like, man, like maybe that's the guy who could be the fourth and one guy this year. I don't know, but as a true freshman, do you want a true freshman as a fourth and one guy? Last year it happened to be a defensive tackle, but they had the veteran 38 as the fourth and one guy. So, where do you, is Mills Knight, you think, should he be part of this discussion?
I think he should be in that way. Like, I think it, whatever role he plays early on, it's going to be a limited role and one where he can just focus on being as good as he can in that role. And I think short yardage makes a lot of sense because there isn't a candidate to take over for JJ. Like, there's no obvious guy. It's not like they're going to take 6'7" Xavier Harris and put him back there, even though you can do that in college football 26, apparently. I've done it myself. And didn't work out as well as it did with JJ. You know, he's a little not as explosive as he's trying to run through the line, but a 6'7" monster maybe. But I think Shekiah could carve out a role in that way. But for me, the freshman, Devin Harper's the one. In terms of physical ability, he's one of the most talented linemen on this team. But, of course, he's a freshman, and he still needs to add weight, and he needs to understand the playbook, all the stuff he has to get, his feet underneath him with. But, man, I think Devin Harper's absolutely atop that list. Dante Core is another one. But I don't want people to sleep on Andrew Maddox either. He's in that two-deep, rotation at defensive tackle, and I think he could play a big, big role as well. Before we get out of here, before I let you go, Sam, and let you get back to your brilliant work at the Clarion Ledger covering Ole Miss sports, kind of final thoughts here. If Ole Miss – wins 9 games like we think, are they a playoff team? Is that a playoff formula, or like kind of where do you predict them to end up? By this time, a few months from now, when the regular season is over, are they a college football playoff contender? Are they just on the outside looking in? Do they go to the Music City Bowl, which I saw a prediction from? If they go to the Music City Bowl, I'm sorry, Ole Miss fan. I know y'all are not going to want to go to Nashville again, but if they go, whatever that means, probably 8-4. But for you, knowing what we know about this team now, where do you kind of predict things to land in terms of their postseason destination and where they'll be? Because I think right now, if you made me predict, they're going to finish just on the outside looking in, and next year just go all in for it and have another real opportunity. But I'm not riding off this team's college football. They're going to be in that college football playoff conversation, in my opinion, all year, and maybe just fall a little bit short because I think 9-3 is still going to be tough to get in. But, man, there's so much to like about this team, even warts and all, that I think Ole Miss is. I mean, I think Lane Kiffin and them are kind of revitalized by this team too, because he said it before, we got a coach better than we ever had before, because they don't have all of the sure things that they had last year. But man, what a high upside group that this could turn out to be.
Yeah. And that's something super interesting you bring up that I'll try to hit on in like 20 seconds. But I think it's worth noting is like about the concept of being all in, right? In past, in the 1980s, you know, almost any other version of college football that's been played, the whole goal is just be as good as possible every year. But you bring up that deal of like, hey, in the salary cap era, or not even like the salary era where there's no cap, there is an idea to, hey, do you save a little money in the portal this year? And try to go, crazier next year when Austin's a year older. And it's a conversation to be had about when do you go all in. And last year was probably an all-in year, right? You have your veteran quarterback who you think is going to be really good. In that building, in the Manning Center, they can think to 2027. There's some smart guys in there. And
whose jobs are quite literally to do that. Like all their jobs is forecast out to 2027. You know?
So I really like that point you bring up, as this, to me, broadly speaking, sort of seems like a building year a little bit, right? You can still get to the College Football Playoff in a building year in Oxford, Mississippi. I believe that to be the case. But to get back on the main point, with that said, I think that this team is probably I think it's going to be a tick worse than last year's team, and I think it's going to have the same record as last year's team. To me, that means you have three losses. You probably finish outside the playoff bubble, especially if your eye test maybe isn't as impressive. We'll see how it all shakes out, but you know, just to fulfill my personal dream of this happening, I'll say this team winds up in I think the Texas Bowl has SEC Big 12 ties, because I really want this team to play Iowa State, because my brother plays Iowa State. So
your
I think
twin brother.
My twin brother covers. Yeah. And you know that life, Ben. But yeah, my identical twin covers Iowa State. So we got it last year in March Madness and just had a blast doing that. But yeah, that would be my personal thing I'm rooting for is I would love to for Iowa State and Ole Miss to match up some way, somehow.
I would love to see Ole Miss, this team, win 9 games and sneak into the playoffs off of the quality of their wins. And that means you probably beat Georgia, Alabama, and LSU. But then who are the three losses coming from? I don't know, but that's the beauty of this team, is the range of outcomes and how they get there could happen in any number of ways. And it's going to be fascinating to cover. Sam does a tremendous job covering Ole Miss for the Jackson Clarion Ledger. He's at Sam_Hutchins_ on Twitter. Follow him. Just, you do great work, man. I'm so thankful that you came on this podcast. Let's do it again. And a week out, man, I know I'm excited. I know you are too. I think more than anything, we're just ready to not watch a lot of stretch anymore. We're ready to go out there and actually cover some real games. So thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. We'll do it again.
Sounds good, Ben. Appreciate you.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.